Welcome back. Yes, data breaches. It almost seems like every week we hear about another one, but this one could be the worst one ever. It is reported that the theft of Social Security numbers of every American has occurred. I don't know if that's actually true or that's just what's being reported, but there has been a federal class action lawsuit that the hacking group claims to have stolen personal information of nearly 3 billion people. Let's with us to discuss the extent of this breach and what it might mean for you and what you can do to protect yourself, most importantly, is David Malicote. He is an expert in cybersecurity and is the Chief Information Security Officer at Direct Marketing Solutions. He's an adjunct professor in cybersecurity, and he is the host of the Professional CISO podcast. Welcome to the show, David. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. So, you know, I'm not a techie person, and I suspect that I have a lot of listeners here who may not understand all of these things. But can you first tell us what you know about who is responsible for this breach and how it occurred?
Right. So there's a company called National Public Data, and it's a background check service, right? So they pull together a whole bunch of information from different places and companies and, you know, different types, like maybe a background check if you want to, you know, go be a person that goes in up at the schools and, have the ability to go with your kid on the field trip, all that good stuff. So basically, it gives background checks, you know, have you ever had a felony, anything like that. So in the end, it was out there on the dark web, and it was around April that a threat actor called USDOD, which is not the U.S. Department of Defense, it is something they named themselves to cause confusion, and they tried to sell this information or a set of this information for around $3.5 million. And really wasn't successful. And then early August, another threat actor called Finice, they shared the information for free. So they kind of turned up the heat on National Public Data. And next thing you know, actually within the last day, National Public Data came out and said, yes, this hack actually did happen.
Wow. And do we know anything about this organization? It kind of just blows my mind as a layperson with no knowledge of technology, how that cannot be traced to a place or a person or a company or a computer. Is it just impossible to find out where these people are?
I think a lot of times you can find it in, like, let's call it a region, right?
Okay.
So there is technology that exists, and, you know, I don't know how detailed you want me to get, but it's basically called a Tor browser or called the Onion Router, and it has the ability to randomize where somebody comes from. And so basically the tougher part of that is to be able to get, you know, you can get it to kind of a region, but you really can't get it down to the computer or the city or maybe even, a part of the country. So in this case, how they knew is that the folks stuck their head up out of the sand a little bit, right? And they put it out there on the dark web. And they said, hey, because they're going to say, I want the money for this, right? And so that's how you can kind of start tracking it. But also what we find, too, with these threat actors is they operate, they're loose groups that operate from many different locations. So it's not like you can actually go say, well, it's that one person sitting at that one computer. Typically, there's kind of these loose gangs that work together from many different areas.
Interesting. And so when they make this threat, is it ever the case that that people will pay them for the $3.5 million to get that information back? Or is that usually not done?
It has happened. Typically what we see in that case, it's a risk management exercise for whatever organization is affected. Typically, the information, once it's out there, it's out there, right? I mean, there's really no bringing it back. So, and then what we've also seen is you have these threat actors that will do first level, second level, and third level. So they will actually, they'll try to get the first one and say, oh, yeah, go ahead and pay me. I'm not going to, distribute this out. But then they go ahead and do it anyway and sell it again and again. And so, like with any criminal, you make the bargain kind of with the devil at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, they're thieves to begin with, so you're going to believe them when they cut a deal? Probably not.
Exactly.
So, yeah, let's take a break. I want to know a little bit about how the breach was discovered. I want to talk a little bit about what information exactly do they have, and most importantly, what can you do to protect yourself if we are a part of the group of people whose information was hacked? We're here talking to David David Malicote. He is the chief information security officer at Direct Marketing Solutions. We'll give out his contact information later. And you're listening to WGN and the Karen Conti Show. Welcome back. We are talking to David Malicote. He is the Chief Information Security Officer at Direct Marketing Solutions, and here we are talking about a hack that really affected what they're saying is almost every American in our country. David, how was this breach discovered?
So the discovery actually came when the threat actors, you know, again, popped their head up on the dark web.
Right.
So we didn't hear from National Public Data at all until after the fact, which that's kind of concerning in and of itself. A lot of times you want those companies, if they have an issue, especially of this scale, right, to be able to come forward and be very transparent about what happened, how it happened. And unfortunately, it didn't happen in this way. So for this, you never want to find out about it in the bad way, which is what happened in this case, especially at this scale.
And so what information do we know that they have?
First and foremost, Social Security numbers. Second, you have obviously first name, last name, email address, mailing address, physical address, as well as some other, less major information. So, and the key there is you put all those together, and that's a credit file. That's an identity right there in of itself. So there's the concern.
So will the hackers actually take that information and do bad things, or will the hackers sell the information to other wrongdoers who are going to use it in a way to harm consumers?
Yeah, you got to think of it kind of like a pyramid, right? So the folks that are sitting at the top that do these, these big hacks or these big things, what they do is they just want to be able to get the data, right? And then in the end, they want to trickle that out to other bad actors that will go and use it. Typically, again, with something this scale, they'll want to do it in ways that they break it up, right? So they're not trying to, I always tell people with this one, like, this is somebody that like stole a $25 million painting is trying to move it. Right, in the black market, it's really hard to do because there's very few buyers, and if you try to sell that thing, man, it's going to cause a lot of attention, which obviously we're sitting here talking is causing a lot of attention. So probably what they're going to try to do is to use this in bits and bytes and push it out to these smaller actors that are going to go try to do it from a almost like a grassroots type thing.
So what exactly can happen to the average consumer? What could happen to me?
Yeah, so in this case, like I referred to earlier, identity is, I think, kind of the first and foremost. You put those components together, and somebody could try to steal identities. I think that would be the biggest and the most harmful, and the one that would cause people the most work, right? And so that's one. I think the other is you have opening up of either lines of credit or credit cards. That's another one that would be a concern. And then I think another one would be around maybe filing for some sort of benefits. We've seen folks that have had benefits such as healthcare type benefits, Social Security benefits, things like that have been filed for and just kind of circumvented around to people to get the benefit from those. So I would say those are kind of the top ones that I'd be wary of.
And I've seen in the past where banks, I get these calls from listeners who say, my bank account has been frozen. They think that there's fraud, mm-hmm. and so they can't get access to their money. And in some cases, these are business accounts that they need to run and operate their business. In some instances, it's personal money that they don't have any more money. Is that something that we're going to see because of this breach, that banks are going to kind of bear down here and freeze accounts if they think something's fraudulent?
They can, for sure. Typically, in my experience, what I've seen, banks are getting pretty good at the fraud side of things. They're actually bringing in technology in and of itself to help identify patterns, pattern matching when it comes to fraud. And they're usually pretty good at getting in front of it. Typically, the freezing of the accounts is kind of a last resort. It's possible for sure. But I've seen that get better over the last few years where they're really getting out in front of it. And it's something that's very important to those financial institutions. It costs them dearly when it comes to fraud. So they're actually investing in that area and making sure they get in front. So definitely be aware of it. But the good news is it has gotten better and continues to get better.
What should our listeners do, knowing that this happened and knowing that their information is potentially out there? What are some of the things? Let's go through them sort of in one by one way, David.
Sure. I'd say first and foremost, go walk your credit file, right? And each one of the credit bureaus provides this option. Typically it's one place. I think it's you can go and check my credit report or something like that. Do a Google search; it'll show you. But go Experian, TransUnion, Equifax; they'll point you to it. It's free, right? So you can get logins. You can log into this to one of those websites, and it gives you the option, like a toggle button, that you can basically freeze your credit to say, if anybody were to go and try to run a credit check on you for something, and particularly if it was fraudulent, it wouldn't go through. It would be blocked, but they just wouldn't be able to get anything. That's a great preventative.
And do you have to do it to all of those companies, or can you do it to one and it does it for the other ones?
You can do it to one, and it does it for the other ones, from
Great.
What I understand.
Okay.
Double check that for sure, but for when I was doing research right before we got on, it's a kind of a one-stop shop. By law, with one credit bureau is frozen, they have to freeze the others. And so, that's a big thing, I think. And then just unfreeze it, right? If you need to go and you know, get that new cell phone, or you know, go buy that car, it's time, you know, your wheels are falling off, go get that new car, unlock the credit for the time that you need it, and then relock it. I think it's just good practice for everyone.
Excellent, excellent. And you said it's not that hard to do. I mean, you should be able to go onto the website, and there should be a button that asks you the question, and that you should be able to click on and get that done.
Absolutely. It's one of those where I think they're really encouraging it at this point, because, again, credit bureaus also have to fight that fraud as well, much like the financial institution. So it's in their best interest also.
And that doesn't affect your credit probably, right? So I think some people might be concerned that would affect their credit.
Correct. It does not affect your credit whatsoever.
Great. What else can they do as far as being vigilant to make sure that their identity has not been stolen? And let's just talk a little bit about what that means. I mean, we hear that phrase all the time, identity theft, but what does that actually mean?
Right. So what somebody tries to do is basically kind of cut in line, so to speak, right? So you've worked your whole life, you know, you've established great credit, you've established a good standing in you know, society, and basically some fraudster wants to come in and kind of cut in line and say, look, I'm going to siphon those resources off of you. And so they're going to go and take that Social Security number and try to basically establish your identity, but different, right? So they're going to try and inject themselves in there, maybe get a driver's license, maybe get, I've seen Social Security as well. And they try to just insert themselves into that process and just basically try to now establish you, but as them, right? And then in turn, what they can do with that, right, which is similar to what we talked about earlier, establishing the benefits, they can go in, open up potential lines of credit or credit cards, financial accounts, buy property, or enter into renting situations, and have, you know, and ultimately what happens is now the liability comes on you for those things because it's open under your Social Security number and your credit. So there is options when it comes to that. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, is one of those. They have a great program where you can go in, log in, and it gives you like a full plan, is the best way I can put it. They give you every step that you need to do to go help try to get your identity back.
And, you know, there's probably a complicated answer, but I'm not even going to ask it, but I assume that banks will have liability for certain parts of this, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to, you know, the world isn't going to come after you for unpaid debts, thinking that you is really somebody else, right? So, from my understanding is, you know, you can protect yourself from some of this, and the banks and the credit card companies, it's their bad in a lot of ways, but it was going to make it very difficult for you to get credit in the future to unravel what's been done. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And I would say proactivity at this point, and I know, you know, this is not something that's on most people's mind, you know, like every day, but I think maybe putting a little reminder on your calendar, go in maybe like every month and kind of check your credit file, check your accounts, you know, because now that everything's online, most people don't necessarily go through and look at every single thing on their register anymore as much.
Right.
But go through and kind of check everything and make sure that you understand and you see everything that you've done with your spending. If you're seeing anything in there that is not, that is abnormal, that you don't recognize, that's the potential for fraud where you kind of have to go drill down and figure what that's about. Because that's how it starts. A lot of times what they find, what has been found, they kind of do the slow drip. They'll start really small and make sure they can get away with it. And then in turn, they'll go, you know, once it's done, they know that you're not paying attention, then they amp it up and they ramp it up until, you know, then next thing you know, it's months down the road and, you know, people are coming after you for those bills and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't do any of this stuff. So the proactivity, I think, get in there, make sure you understand what's going on with your credit file, understand what's going on with your financial accounts, your credit card statements, your bank statements. It's a good way to get in front of this and make sure that any little thing happens that you know about it and you can cut it off at the pass.
And it could be that your banks and credit cards have some rules. You know, I don't know what those might be, but it could be that they have rules to say that if you don't check your statements and if you don't report this fraud or some expense that you didn't charge, that you might be tagged with it. You might have to accept it. I mean, there used to be rules about that where you have to check, you know, your bank statements, and if a certain number of days go by and you don't do it and you don't report it, you're stuck with it. And I would add too, David, that we have a lot of listeners who are taking care of elderly family members or neighbors, and so you know if you're going to be a good neighbor or a good kid, you're going to be a good grandchild, do this for your family, because you know they might not be savvy enough to do this, not having been raised with the technology that we have here. David Malico, thank you so much for joining us. Can you give out your contact information if anyone wants to contact your company? You do work for major financial institutions and this kind of thing?
Yeah, so the company that I work for on my day job, quote unquote, is we're a marketing company. We do direct and digital marketing. It's called Direct Marketing Solutions, Portland, Oregon, and then also right outside of Pittsburgh. And we handle a lot of data, and it's my responsibility to make sure that data, you know, maintains our, you know, we maintain the security of that data. But then, you know, kind of the side project a little bit is called the Professional CISO Podcast. Ultimately, it's an idea that we want to have thought leadership around the role of chief information security officers. You know, in cybersecurity, obviously, it's changing. It changes very quickly. And the goal was to have a place where we could all come to in industry to be able to have kind of that public square where we were able to rapidly respond to how things are being demanded from us and how business is changing in cybersecurity.
Great. So, well, give out your contact information. I'm going to have to run here.
Absolutely. It's website, theprofessionalciso.com, and we have contact lists on there, so you can just put in information and send us an email, and we'll get back with you.
David, thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday.